Tape 1, Side 1. Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women. Oral History 2. My name is Mildred J. Menlo. And with my partner, Ruth Weiner, we are interviewing Dorothy Binstock. Dorothy, we would like you to give us some information about your family, its beginnings, the present. Fill it in any way you wish.
In 1901, the first Binstock came to Pittsburgh, then brought his second brother, and the two of them were able to establish themselves so they could bring eventually the entire family, not only their families, but the families of their wives.
Where did they come from?
They all came from Austria. And my father speaks with great reverence of Franz Joseph. They were in Europe, they were all watchmakers, and they took the trade of watchmaking and brought their skills to the United States, and were able, by working hard and saving, to be able to bring all of their families and their wives' families. And they bought a little hotel because there were so many people. It was called Gold's Hotel. It's on Center Avenue in the Hill District. And all my life, I thought everybody lives in a hotel where there are a lot of rooms and one bathroom at the end of the hall. And
did they come directly to Pittsburgh?
Yes, directly to Pittsburgh. Several of the Memphis family went into the butcher business. But primarily, 90% of them went into the some phase of the jewelry business. From 1901 till 5 years ago, there was always a Binstock jewelry store in Pittsburgh. And 5 years ago, they sold the last Binstock jewelry store to David Weiss in Oakland. And it was very sad for me. I really had mixed emotions about this. It's interesting to note that of all of the children in the Binstock family, not one of them went into the jewelry business. The parents wanted the children to be doctors or lawyers or dentists. And they made it possible, even during the Depression, for all of us to go to school. And and now, when you say Binstock, they no longer say, oh, the jewelry family. They say doctor, lawyers, or dentist. It's a complete metamorphosis. The entire family remained in Pittsburgh until 10 years ago, at which time some of the young doctors went to different medical schools in different cities and settled in those cities. We now have a doctor in Connecticut, in California, and in Houston. They're raising their families there. We remain a completely committed family. For example, when one nephew, Mervyn and Doris Binstock's son, Jeffrey, first baby in California, 24 of us went to the Bris.
How many members in your family, your immediate family?
There are four of us, two boys and two girls.
What were their names?
Sam. Dr. Sam is the oldest. I'm the next to the oldest. Dr. Mervyn and my sister, Bernice Binstock Melnick, who unfortunately passed away at a very early age, was the fourth. And I think it's important to note that I was a Binstock and married a Binstock.
Oh.
Cousin?
Yes.
Oh, yes. community work. They encouraged us greatly and had great pride in the fact that we were active. And I know the encouragement was there. And my mother had a motto, it's easier to be a leader than a follower. And you were.
You have a daughter, right?
Yes, I have a daughter.
And her name?
Is Marjorie Eugent. U-G-N-T. Excuse me one moment. My mother watched a Chronicle of the Week. And we were all raised in Orthodox homes. And we followed Kashmir.
Been members of B'nai Israel.
I was confirmed from B'nai Israel in 1932.
And your husband?
B'nai Israel. My husband was an attorney for 52 years. Very unfortunately, 9 weeks ago, was trying a case in court and dropped over. But he was not sick for one moment.
Have a nice weekend.
And there again, he encouraged me to the fullest extent to be active in the community.
Your earliest associations were what?
Community-wise, or I graduated from the University of Pittsburgh. I was a social worker. I think there was a junior Hadassah at that time that I belonged to. From there, I joined the B'nai B'rith Women during the war. Friend asked me to join him. At that time, our main thrust was rolling bandages, the USO, selling United States government bonds. That was my first community service, my real community service. From there, I went through every phase of the B'nai B'rith Women. Through the administrative phases of membership and fundraising and community service, to the projects themselves, such as our B'nai B'rith Youth Project, our Adult Jewish Education, B'nai B'rith Women's Children's Home in Israel is our primary project in Israel. We are the sole supporters and have been for 80 years. And this year, B'nai B'rith is celebrating his 90th birthday. I've gone to each and every organization in the city, but I give most of my energy to B'nai B'rith Women, Pittsburgh Commission on Human Relations, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, which is the educational arm of B'nai B'rith. And there again, I did progress. And I am a national vice chairman of the Anti-Defamation League, national. This organization seems to satisfy my needs for serving the community. Grown with it, and I have enjoyed it, and feel that it gives me far more than I have given to it.
You were the national president.
I was international president.
International president, right. How many years did you serve as international president?
A two-year term.
Two-year term. Tell us something about your experiences while you were the
international
president.
I've traveled to 27 countries. There were an eighth of women in each of these countries. Some of them are combined with the men. Called B'nai B'rith, not B'nai B'rith, women. And they work together. Most fascinating experiences of the various countries. My husband, at his own expense, went with me to all of these countries. They called him the Prince Consort, and he loved it. Really loved it. He was a kind and modest man. You did know him somewhat, and he was this kind of modest man who protected me at every turn. And every member of our family, my brothers, one has four children, one has three children, my sister has two children, they've all been involved in the B'nai B'rith Youth Program. Which, of course, is the ACA for the boys and the B'nai B'rith girls. And they got a lot of their early training. In Israel, I'm so pleased. There are 28 women's chapters, many women's lodges, and many men's lodges. When I went there during Hanukkah time, in the auditorium of Hebrew Union College, when the men's international president and I entered the room, there was bedlam. There were 900 young people coming from every little village who came to what it was their annual convention. It's always held Hanukkah time because there's no school. And we did not have to use too many interpreters. The feeling and what was said and done was really one of the highlights. Also, and I'm telling you only the recent things, I'm not telling any of the older things. Every year, at Hanukkah time, there are bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah for children who are deprived, either orphans, and they have a physical handicap, and they would not be bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah if it weren't for this. And this has been going on for 15 years.
This is B'nai B'rith?
Yes, completely B'nai B'rith. Yes, and our women go to the banks, and each child is given a $5 bank book. And the merchants, of course, contribute. But when each one steps up to get the bank book, there's some feeling there that is extremely emotional. The children, some are blind, some are deaf, some are lame. But this is their bar mitzvah. And when we came, they had to wait for the buses, and the buses were somewhat late, and the food was in front of each child. Nobody touched plates. They waited until we came. Very moving experience. And they were given yarmulkes, and they were given prayer books, and everything that our women could obtain from all of the merchants and the universities and schools. And this is an annual, basis. We do have a tremendous B'nai B'rith building on number 10 Kaplan Street in Israel. And it serves as a place where these bar mitzvahs take place and where the meetings take place in Tel Aviv. In Israel, we have, in Jerusalem, we have a Jewish center, a B'nai B'rith Jewish center, which has now outgrown itself, and ground is being broken for a new center in Jerusalem. We thought the hub of activity, the first center in Tel Aviv, but there's a different kind of activity and a different need in Jerusalem. And this is going to be a multi-million dollar building, and the neighbors is putting every effort into this. You might wonder why I say B'nai B'rith and B'nai B'rith women. It's because in the United States, all women belong to B'nai B'rith women, men belong to B'nai B'rith. We have our, we're partners walking side by side with joint projects, but with our own agendas. Sometimes we disagree with the men, sometimes they disagree with us, but we each have the right to have our own agenda. For example, just give you a reason why the women have been very much against Judge Bork, and yet the men have don't feel as strongly about that as we do. So we just, it's in our constitution and laws that we have the right. We were the first Jewish women's organization to come out for ERA. And our pro-choice stand on abortion. Almost always, the two partners agree. But there are times. And then we meet and we iron out differences. Sometimes it takes a little while.
We agree to disagree.
There's no question about it. When I mentioned it, Defamation League, it is probably the best known of all of the B'nai B'rith projects. And it is the kind of work it's done, the people it attracts, and the money that it raises. It has a huge budget, far bigger than both B'nai B'rith and B'nai B'rith women combined. It's an organization which appeals to people for two reasons. Those who have money who want to give to a cause that fights anti-Semitism and prejudice, and those who cannot give time but can give money. And all through the years since World War II, we have had work at the veterans' hospitals. Our women go. One thing that has happened to me since I've had that tragedy is that my voice is evidently lower, and yet when I step to a microphone, I can really project. I will try harder. And not talk to you as if this were not all of that time.
Veterans Hospital.
Yes.
Women here.
Yes. Wherever there's a Veterans Hospital, the women go. Our motto is, we shall not forget. And in some sections of the country, it is more popular than in others. But it's a continuing. Our youth project is the most successful youth project in the world because of its great scope. And it's more important in Israel. You wonder why in Israel it would be so important. Because all of these 900 youngsters, they spoke different languages, they came from different countries. You know, they needed to be together and to meet B'nai B'rith Hillel. The Federation some years ago made a complete search for a project to help the Jewish students on college campuses, and came up with the idea that it would enrich the B'nai B'rith Hillel project, and gives very large sums of money to B'nai B'rith Hillel.
Who was doing this?
Federation. Yes.
Let's go back for one moment. You talked about your association with the Veterans Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a particular facet of that project that's very interesting, and that your substitution at Christmas.
On Christmas and Easter. I should have told you that, of course.
I think it's a tremendous project.
I do too. And we have people who do this regularly for every holiday. And so they're skilled at what they're doing. And the and those who are not skilled serve donuts and coffee and coloring books, crayons for the children to come to visit their fathers or their grandfathers. And it's called Operation Snowflake in most areas, because mostly it's kind of around Christmas time. But Easter is a very busy time for this. I wanted to tell you a little more about Hillel. You wonder why, with all the sociological changes taking place, that this project would continue to be such an important project. B'nai B'rith is the largest employer of rabbis in the world. We employ 371 rabbis. Each one, besides being a rabbi and being trained with children and so on, is a trained counselor. And we have had tremendous reaction from parents who have said, my child went to school in a state of rebellion, of course. Either a state of rebellion, either contemplating an intermarriage, not knowing what to do scholastically. And our rabbis are especially trained and spend most of their time doing this. Now, I don't know if you've met Rabbi Joe Levine. Yes. Now, Rabbi Joe, at the beginning of each season, he has an ice cream party. He goes to building to building, universities, introducing himself and his helpers. And they eat ice cream and they talk about, what would you like to do this year? What are your needs? We issue a booklet that identifies every Hillel Foundation, and you'd be amazed at the number of people who will not send their children to a school that does not have Hillel. Even if the student says, I'm not going to blow and I don't want it, the parents know that there's a Jewish presence on campus, and this Jewish presence is I think why Federation decided that this was the way to go. We just moved a half a block away from here, across the street from where you live, because the Hillel in Pittsburgh. Incidentally, Hillel was started in Pittsburgh 30 years ago by B'nai B'rith women. There was no extra money, and the women took it on as a personal, private project, and it grew until the men came with it, and now Federation is a very, very strong partner. The board is made up of half, the Hillel board is made up of half United Jewish Federation representatives and half B'nai B'rith women representatives. And these are people who live in this town who never knew that it existed. Now, when I went to Pitt from 1934 to 1938, there was no Jewish presence on campus. There was a Wesleyan Association, a Newman Club, and so on. And now our rabbi, it takes turns being head of the chaplains. The kind of in-depth work that is done individually and collectively, the Shabbat dinners, kosher meals, holiday time, the call goes out, how many children can you take for Passover, for Yom Kippur, for break the fast, and services are held. The services are it was difficult to figure out, but around the country they have figured it out. They do have Orthodox services and Reform services. And we each rabbi has an assistant so that it's possible to do this. Also, the Orthodox children who come are very well qualified to conduct their own services. And it is strictly kosher. We had a hard time with the rabbin at the Pittsburgh at the beginning to make sure that they wanted to make sure that we were really strictly structure. It takes a lot of money and a lot of time. And it's interesting how the board members of the two organizations, Federation and B'nai B'rith, I believe Sylvia Buses will probably be the next chairman. And one of the Rudolph boys has already been a chairman. And right now it's David Itzak, who's a B'nai B'rith man. The boards have worked together because there's a common denominator. The college student who does not, the college student who would not have a Jewish presence where he goes to school. Tech has grown in leaps and bounds in assistance. There's a, I assume there still is, Tech gave Hillel an apartment for the Tech students, and they also came on Sunday to Sunday brunches at the Y. The Y was a great central place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so afraid of this place here. I'm really afraid.
Mm-hmm. Great loss.
Yes, on the 20th this month, there'll be an open house from 2 to 4 if you're free, Mildred. Just walk over and take a look on the 20th.
Here on
yes,
Bellfield?
Yeah, on South Craig, 160.
Yeah. Oh, across you.
Across this, 160 South Craig.
That's Pitts, though. Tech has given that?
Everything. What's that?
So Tech has given that?
No. Tech gave another.
Another.
For the only the Tech students on their campus. But this is for wherever there's a Jewish student in any college campus. When my daughter went to Duquesne, she brought a carload from Duquesne and they became active. It depends upon the students who happen to be there. But all of the universities, Robert Morris, community college, everybody is secularized and told about come and meet your fellow Jewish students. And the Bagel and Lux branches are very popular. And they have a lot to do with choosing their own programming for each.
Where do they have their facilities at the university?
No, they don't. It's in the foundation itself. In other words, Kosher Kitchen will be right here.
Oh, it will be?
Yeah.
I didn't know that the area was large enough for that.
They claim that it is.
Well, I didn't. I just looked in.
Yes, I looked in. I was a little distressed. The Y had its own kitchen, of course. And this will have its own kitchen. We have everything that's strictly kosher. Rabbi Bucco has given his leadership on the whole thing. It's a very big undertaking, but a very important one. You know, some of the students are so orthodox that they will not ride an elevator on the lectures. And so here they come and they're... Also, it is so well recognized that the schools give them food credit. In other words, if they don't want to eat at the university, that whatever the amount is that they would have to pay the food to the university, they pay to Hillel.
Hillel. It's marvelous.
It is the... Hillel has another dimension, which I must tell you about. And this is taking place for 12 years already. We have an Arab Jewish Hillel in Jerusalem, Hebrew College. And the students get to know each other. At first, they were very suspicious about getting together. And two brought four and so on. And in the summer, they go in teams into Arab villages. A Hebrew and an Arab go in teams to the Arab villages. They set up kindergartens, libraries. They have the elders have had one great complaint, two serious complaints. One, that our B'nai B'rith Hillel kids often go in pairs, boys and girls, and they don't permit that. Also, our kids take too many showers.
They can't find anything more serious.
So we're yes. And we have brought several students over. They have not been the ones who say, your people are great and you're doing a great thing. They have said, you should be doing the following. And we don't know how this is going to work. They really searched their souls, and it just hasn't been an easy experience. And our B'nai B'rith women are the hostesses wherever, whatever city they go to.
Let's get back to you a little bit.
Yes.
You went to Pitt.
Yes.
Where did you go from your elementary and high school?
To Miller School in the Hill District, and to Peabody High School.
Peabody High School.
When my parents had this store and this hotel on the Hill District, and when my father thought it was time for us to move, we all transferred to Peabody. But many of the older members of the family, such as my husband and my brother, my older brother, are graduates of the Fadden High School.
Anything special from in any trends while you were in the lower grades or in high school?
No.
Were you part of an integrated group?
Yes, in fact, one of my bridesmaids was a Catholic girl. I always had it. And my parents encouraged us to bring home non-Jewish as well as the Jewish.